just as you would pay for the ride in the Uber app, you would be checking for the home in the Zillow app, and you would end up basically pushing a button to apply for a mortgage. So, as you said, it's a complete transformation. And here's the thing. We're wondering, why did Spencer Raskov step down? This is a massive change. And to me, even though he basically didn't answer the question in the interview, I think it's pretty obvious that he was not on board with this change.
That's a possibility.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to GeekWire. It's GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And John Cook, GeekWire co-founder.
Wow, we were both on vacation last week. So people who are listening to the podcast, John, got a special episode of you talking with Marilyn Strickland of the Seattle Chamber.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed hearing from me.
we'll see.
Yes. Send negative feedback to todd@geekwire.com. It was your idea to put it in the podcast feed, not mine.
Clearly, yes. You were like, no, people don't want to listen to that. Hey, coming up on this show, we've got some interesting news stories to talk about. A radical change at Zillow that surprised me. Surprised the hell out of me to come back to this news. Amazon backing out of a giant Seattle office tower in the latest sign of a lot of uncertainty in its hometown. And also, Amazon has canceled one of my favorite Amazon products, or one of my favorite Amazon services. We'll talk about that.
Whole Foods is done?
No. Not yet. So we got a lot to talk about this week. But first, let's jump in with Zillow. John, you have a history of covering this company. I think you were the first person to ever write about Zillow, the real estate company.
That's correct.
It's long been a real estate media company.
They've always have hammered in to us every time we've talked to them. We have no intention to get into the real estate transaction business. We're a media company, for God's sake. We have no desire to want to do that.
So, and it's not like a media.
So they said
company.
That for how many, however many years they've been around.
But it took me a while to wrap my head around what they meant by media company, because the whole idea was it was serving up information about homes and then advertising for agents. So it wasn't like they were doing news about homes, but
correct. Although there was a news element to it, and certainly a voyeuristic component with the Zestimate. And then they expanded into tools for real estate agents and to make the real estate process more efficient.
Yeah,
but now they're doing something entirely different.
That's right. The big headline, first of all, is that Zillow CEO Spencer Raskov is stepping down, and he's being replaced by Zillow co-founder and the former CEO, right? Rich Barton.
That's correct. Now, I was surprised by this news, too. I've interviewed Spencer in the past, as recently as last year, and he seemed 100% committed to Zillow. I often thought that he would be, it's, 10 plus years in the business. He's taken the company to IPO and he moved to LA. He's spending most of his time now in LA. And I was thinking, okay, that's probably a sign he's going to maybe transition out of the business. But when I brought it up, he was adamant. No, I'm committed. I believe this is a huge opportunity. The interesting thing here from my history of following the company, I always thought the heir apparent to become the CEO of Zillow was Amy Botinsky.
I would have guessed that.
I always thought. I was like, okay, because she's had multiple. She was CMO, she was COO, and seemed like she was moving up the ladder. So when she retired, I think it was late last year, she announced she was going to retire. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe she got passed over or decided that that wasn't the path she was going to be on. But I thought that, okay, Spencer's probably locked in there for a while now. So this transition to Rich Barton coming back into the CEO role, it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Okay, I want to get into that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about the fundamental change from media company to a whole lot more. They are going to be doubling down on their Zillow Offers program. And this is something that they launched last year. The whole idea is that people who are looking to sell their homes will be able to basically press a button and get an offer from Zillow. And Zillow will then literally buy the home and hold it for a period of time and then sell it with the notion of making some kind of profit. It's like HGTV, the home flippers. I don't know how much renovation they'll do. In some of the first homes that they bought, they didn't do a whole lot. And in fact, they didn't make much money, if at all, on some of the first. So the fact that they're doubling down on this whole idea, it seems a little odd.
They're saying it's Zillow 2.0. I don't know. It seems they are really going to have to reposition themselves, and they're going into a highly speculative business that can turn on a dime based on the housing economy, where they could be left holding the bag in a big way. Now, the interesting thing, I interviewed Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman, which is also in this business with, Redfin Now.
Yep.
And I interviewed him at our GeekWire Summit last year, and he was talking about how dangerous of a business this is. And now you have giant players in this fighting and tearing, and some heavily funded competitors. So the one thing that I saw this week that was really interesting, and I'm going to stump you here. What was the tech move that happened this week that ties into this story in a very interesting way? And now you're peeking at my screen. So
I have no idea, actually.
Okay. This is where it's interesting to tie some things together and connect some dots. There's a company called Compass. Because when I interviewed Glenn Kelman at the summit, I mentioned, hey, who's the big juggernaut you're worried about in this space? And I didn't expect it. He said Compass. Compass is this fast-growing startup, a real estate brokerage, tech-powered, much as Redfin was many years ago and continues to be, but is coming on the scene in a big way. They just hired a new person into the company this week by the name of Rahul Singh.
Oh, yeah.
He is the former CEO of Distelli. It was a cloud computing company, and as a former executive at Amazon. This goes on top of other hires. They hired the head of Microsoft's, the CTO of Microsoft's AI efforts a few months ago, and they are going big. They're planning to hire 100 engineers in the Seattle area. They raised $400 million last fall, I think it was, and have just been, a market value of $4 billion plus. I mean, they are a major, major player going into this same market. So there is a lot of competition. It's interesting how Seattle sits at the center of a lot of the innovation and the players in this space, especially now with Compass having a fairly large technical operation that they're growing here. So I was interested to see that news coupled with the Rich Barton news of how they're going into this business of trying to make the real estate transaction really efficient and easy for consumers. I don't know how this is all going to shake out. It is hard to reposition a company that has been a media company into a real estate company, and that's going to be a big challenge for Rich Barton as he takes the helm.
And it's not just the Zillow Offers program, this notion of buying and selling homes. It's also the mortgage business. They are going to be originating mortgages. They made an acquisition previously that got them into this business, but now they're going to be doubling down on it. And Rich Barton, in an interview with our reporters at GeekWire, said that he wants it to be basically like Uber, where just as you would pay for the ride in the Uber app, you would be checking for the home in the Zillow app, and you would end up basically pushing a button to apply for a mortgage. So, as you said, it's a complete transformation. And here's the thing. We're wondering, why did Spencer Raskov step down? Well, this is a massive change. And to me, even though he basically didn't answer the question in the interview, I think it's pretty obvious that my guess would be that he was not on board with this change.
That's a possibility.
Yes.
Because it is kind of a bet the farm business move, which is interesting with Rich Barton, because Rich Barton's whole philosophy, and he said this to many.
Wait, before you do this, can you explain who Rich Barton is?
He is the co-founder of Zillow and co-founded Expedia. He's on the board of Netflix. A very successful entrepreneur and business person, and extremely sharp technology leader.
Yeah.
And he has a philosophy, though, that our first GeekWire event was a meetup, and we interviewed Rich Barton. And he said, if you're up at the plate, it's just as easy to bunt as it is to swing for the fences. So you might as well swing for the fences. And that is the mentality. He likes to go big. And this is a go big moment for Zillow that is potentially putting a lot of the business at risk, frankly. And it's his mentality. It's why he's been successful. But it's a highly risky move. In fact, in his comment to us, I want to read it. It's a longer comment. But his comment to us in the story was, We're taking the media business and using profits from that to fund what some people believe is a speculative business that is unproven, that requires capital investment, that has low gross margin, but has radically larger scale potential. That is why I'm excited. My eyes are wide as I look up in the sky and see the moon, and I want to go. Yeah, I mean, he's...
So it's a moonshot. How many times do you think he rehearsed that in the shower?
It speaks to his mentality. Yeah. And Spencer, who's probably put a lot of his hard work into building Zillow to get to this point, maybe sees it as too risky of a venture. And we're, of course, completely speculating here. I would love to have them sitting around the table talking to us. Maybe this is the invite to Spencer and Rich to come and talk to us and tell us whether we're full of hot air or not.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had him on the show before. We had him on with Lloyd Frank, the other co-founder, and it was, I think, on the 10th anniversary of Zillow being founded. And the whole idea of the founding was that they wanted to solve what was essentially a difficult problem, this whole home buying and home finding process. And back 10 years ago or more now, it was difficult. You had to go through like multiple listing services. And it's hard to remember those days when you couldn't just pull up an app and check out the value of your home and figure out what was for sale around you, other than just driving around and looking for signs, you know? So things have changed radically. I don't know. So have you picked up, are there any plans for them to have agents of their own, or are they still basically working with existing real estate brokerages?
I have not picked up on that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's in the cards. But at one time, there was speculation that Zillow should try to buy Redfin,
right,
which would give them the agent component.
Right.
Now, both of their stocks have fallen pretty dramatically here recently. So I'm not quite sure if that's even possible where one has a higher market value than the other. Let me see here. Zillow's market value sits at $8.5 billion. So they're bigger than Compass, and Redfin sits at, they've fallen pretty dramatically. Theirs is at $1.8 billion.
Hmm.
So you could actually do this, and Zillow has a history of buying pretty antagonistic
Trulia
competitors. Trulia is a great example where they consolidated the market. Maybe that's the story we should be pursuing, Todd. We always come up with a story idea. Maybe this is the story. Now's the time for Zillow to buy Redfin. I mean, at an $8 billion market value to a $1 billion market value, that seems possible.
Do you think Rich and Glenn Kelman, the CEO of Redfin, have been sitting down and having conversations about this?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't have thought that Pete Flint, the CEO of Trulia, and Spencer Roscoff were sitting down and having conversations about a merger many years ago.
What was the lawsuit? It was between Zillow and another company about 3 years ago, another giant company that was owned in part by Rupert Murdoch. Who would that be? Move Inc., which was Realtor.com.
Yes. This was over the hiring of Kurt Beardsley and another Zillow executive. Yes.
Exactly. But the thing about that, and the reason I bring it up, is there was an email that surfaced in the course of that litigation written by Spencer Roscoff. It might have been a text message or something that surfaced in the discovery of that investigation or that litigation. And it was one of the meanest emails.
I don't think the two companies don't really like each other, but I don't think Trulia and Zillow didn't really like each other. Can we get on that story?
Yes.
We're right on it.
Okay. All right. I'll go out to the newsroom and
shout it out. We got a story.
That's right. Pure speculation, but dive into it. Okay. But who knows? It's possible.
Well, they are going in the same direction.
Yes.
And now Zillow has to make a big play to try to accelerate to get into this market.
They're based in the same city. That's interesting. That would be a huge story. Huge story. All right. Hey, that is the latest on Zillow. We've talked about that for quite a while, but it's nice to talk about something other than Amazon for once.
I know. We get stuck in the Amazon trap, but they make so much news.
Yeah. So coming up after the break, the Amazon,
more Amazon
news. You're listening to GeekWire, and we'll be right back.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. a nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs, I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/ITCertsIncluded.
Welcome back to GeekWire. It's Todd Bishop.
And John Cook.
So the big news this week in Seattle with Amazon was that the company has officially put up for sublease the space that it had leased in a large skyscraper. It's going to be the second largest skyscraper in downtown Seattle, in Seattle.
Currently under construction.
Right, Rainier Square. And it basically is the sign that Amazon is not going to be expanding in Seattle as aggressively as once thought. It's about 30 floors that they had taken in this skyscraper under construction. And they basically said, okay, other people can take this. We're not going to take it. And they're looking for other tenants of that space. And this comes on the heels, of course, of the news that they're pulling out of New York City. They're not going to be building HQ2 there. And also here in the Seattle region, there are many signs that Bellevue, Washington, across the lake, is becoming, in many ways, a second nerve center for Amazon in the Seattle region and the main place where they're focusing their growth in this area going forward. What do you make of this? And let me say, the parallels between New York City and Seattle versus Amazon are interesting to me. There are a lot of similar threads of opposition to Amazon in both cities, in each city. What did you make of this whole news about Amazon putting this space up for sublease?
They are a mystery. They kind of do their own thing. They are operating from a position of strength in many of these communities. I do think the power, I said this even when Amazon was moving to the HQ2 plan. I said the nexus of power is going to shift out of Seattle. Now, that could be shifting just to Bellevue, but I think they're done with Seattle. I do. I think they are so frustrated with the, and I've said this before, too, that it's the political environment, but it's also Amazon's fault in this. And I think they just don't want to deal with it anymore. And one way to not deal with it is to pull out of the large skyscraper they were going to go and occupy. So I think they're done with Seattle.
Now, when you say that, you don't mean that they're going to be
leaving.
I don't
think they're going to uproot and pull out 45,000 people from downtown Seattle. But I think when they strategically look at where they want to grow and where they want their operation to be based, I don't think Seattle is the place that it's going to be. Now, it could be Bellevue, Northern Virginia, obviously. And I think they are going to bet on those places. So it's, in some ways, not that surprising.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was an incremental development, but big news. This we broke this story. Monica Nicholsberg on our team, who's out on an interview, so couldn't join us this week, broke this story about the plan for Amazon to back out of this building.
It is, because it's a very large project and built with the anticipation that Amazon probably is going to gobble it all up. And now it's potentially a big open office space in the middle of downtown, and who's going to take it?
Well, beyond that, if anybody takes it and how quickly, those key metrics are going to be a litmus test, in my view, of the economic strength. So are you going to see one tenant like Google or Facebook or somebody else come in and take this? And if it just sits there empty, that is a big red flag for the economy and future growth here. I think you really could look at that as a litmus test.
Now, there are enough large engineering centers that are expanding very rapidly here.
Right now,
exactly. So you could make the argument that there's enough demand that an Apple or a Salesforce or an eBay or what have you could take on a project of that size and use it for their expansion.
Sure, but they also have been operating under the assumption to this point that wasn't going to be available, so they've been making other plans.
They've been making other plans, right. But Apple, when they made their announcement about their HQ2 under the radar and saying they were going to Austin, in addition to that, they had a few other markets that they were going to double down on, and one of those was Seattle.
Yep.
So you could imagine that a very high-profile new skyscraper might be attractive to a company like that. So Seattle is still a very, very strong market with a lot of players here outside of Amazon. That said, I'm sure there are some people in the real estate community who were maybe taking a little bit of a deep breath and pausing a moment when they saw that news.
Yep. So that is one thing that Amazon dropped out of. And another I'm holding here in my hands. It's sort of the opposite of a skyscraper. It is a Amazon Dash button. Do you remember what these are, John?
Yes, you attach them to your refrigerator or washing machine or something along those lines, and it automatically detects if you are low on that supply that is needed for that device, and it replenishes.
Wrong? So, yes.
I thought that's what it did.
So there are two versions of the Dash program. There's actually multiple versions of the things under the Dash brand. What you're referring to is the Amazon Dash replenishment program.
Okay. And that's sticking around.
So that is sticking around.
Okay.
And that is not a button. That is more of a sensor, for example, in your washing machine or some other appliance at home that senses when you're low, for example, on detergent and automatically reorders it. This is Amazon's Nirvana. In other words, no human involvement. The robots make the purchase. The Dash button involved a human and still does involve a human. So if you're low, so like I know Andrew Edwards, the co-host of Geared Up, another one of our podcasts, he does this, I think, for his Sonic Care toothbrushes. He'll have a Dash button in his bathroom. When he sees that the Sonic Care head needs to be replaced, he just presses the Dash button. That was the whole idea. And then it automatically reordered it. So Amazon announced this week that they are discontinuing the Dash buttons, the actual manual pressing of it. And they said basically that
you should move this, which you're holding into your hand, into the historical archive of products that
along
we have.
With the original Kindle.
Yes.
Well,
what is this, Play-Doh?
Play-Doh. Yeah, my daughter loved this, and I had to disconnect it from our account because she would just press it all
the
time.
3,000 Play-Dohs?
Well, and the thing was, there was a way to sort of reverse the order and prevent it from going through before it actually went through, but still.
So what was the rationale behind shutting it down?
Essentially, it was not... It was kind of a primitive form of the smart home, and I have a hunch they weren't seeing as much usage of it as they otherwise would have. Now, they're not shutting it down completely. They just aren't selling them anymore. They are going to allow
these. So your Play-Doh button still will work?
It will work if I reconnect it.
Yes.
Anyway, this was one of the goofier products, I think, or it's not really even a product. It's a mechanism that Amazon came out with, and it's kind of cute, though. It's a little smaller than you'd expect.
We should collect them.
Yeah, exactly. We should buy them all up and put them in a museum. Yeah, but like they had them for everything from like mouthwash to condoms to, you know, all sorts of things. Can you imagine like having it at your nightstand? And it's a little weird, a little odd.
Hey. Sometimes you need your prophylactic.
I guess. It would be an odd thing to use.
If you don't, then, you know, the birth rate goes up.
Exactly. All right. So that is a couple of pieces of Amazon news. And that's really all the Amazon I've got in me this week.
Good. Let's move on.
All right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Random Channel. We'll have the Random Channel. Okay. You're listening to GeekWire. Todd Bishop with John Cook. And we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. It is time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week when we talk about all the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes this week. I've got some stuff to talk about.
There's some good stuff in here. I always like check it out right about this time, and there's some good stuff here.
Yeah, because there literally is a Random Channel, obviously, in Slack, and that's sort of where we sometimes get the inspiration for this, but it's also just random stuff that's happening around. First off, the GeekWire Bash, coming up March 7th, CenturyLink Field Events Center in Seattle. It's a giant geek festival. Zipline. Is the zipline in?
It's in, Todd. You made it happen.
Is it sponsored?
Not yet. So any sponsors that want to sponsor the zipline, reach out to me at john@geekwire.com. It is a high-profile activity with over 2,000 geeks there ziplining. You can have your name on it.
And I will say that, so I made a personal appeal to have the zipline involved because my daughter last year loved the zipline and it changed her impression of GeekWire overall. Like it became this fun brand as opposed to this thing that was distracting her father.
So it's back, baby.
I will
it's
say, back. If whoever sponsors the zip line, I will do a personal endorsement of their company at no extra charge.
Great. Wonderful.
Is that a selling point?
Yeah,
or no?
I don't know.
All right. Yes. So, but the Bash, explain what the Bash is.
It is a giant geek festival. We have robotics, VR, video games, 7 very competitive tournaments in our favorite geek sports like foosball, dodgeball, ping pong, Settlers of Catan. Actually, I think it's just Catan now.
Is it just Catan?
It's just Catan.
No Settlers.
Yeah, that's right. Settlers. So that, I apologize. Settled. I apologize to the Catan faithful.
And we should say you are.
I do like Catan.
Hardcore.
Not hardcore. If you had to pick like
soccer or Catan.
Oh. Yeah. Soccer keeps me more active. It's probably better for my health.
And you're actually missing something really important right now.
Yeah, I know. That was a hard one. It's a beautiful day in Seattle, and I'm missing Sounders Media Day, where they're actually having a little scrimmage just to be with you, my GeekWire audience. Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But anyway, the Bash is a lot of fun. We have a lot of different companies coming out participating in the tournaments. And the one fun thing, we are having this event as our first family-friendly, kid-friendly event. So we have a Junior Geek Zone. We've got the GeekWire Robotics Cup with 24 teams from across the state, from First Washington, that they are putting on this great robotics competition, which is going to be really interesting. So yeah, should be a great time. And thanks to our partners at First Tech Federal Credit Union for supporting it.
Awesome. So that is March 7th, next Thursday, at the CenturyLink Field Events Center. Tickets are still available at geekwire.com/bash. So I want to talk about my trip to Disney World this past week.
Okay.
Couple things. First, magic bands. Have you seen these?
Yes. They were developed in part by a Seattle area company.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was, and I'll probably get this wrong, I think it might have been Stratos.
Really?
The product design.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that. So this is the band that you wear to basically get into everything. We talked a little bit about this on Geared Up earlier in the week, so apologies for the repeat. But I wanted to talk about the Pandora ride, the Avatar. That was really cool. You like put on VR glasses.
Now, why'd you go to Disney World versus Disneyland? I've only been to Disney World as well in Florida.
Because my family was there.
Oh, family was there.
Yeah, in-laws live in Florida, and so it was easy to do. And my sister-in-law.
Didn't you just get fed up? I mean, by 2:30 in the afternoon, and I got there. I was there from like 8 to 2:30, and by 2:30, I was done, and the family was done, and we had had enough of Disney World for probably forever.
Yes, and the problem was that we had fast passes.
We had that too, but by 12, it's too busy still.
Yeah, but
they're too big of lines.
But no, because now at least the way it works is you schedule a time for your fast pass, and so on some rides like the Avatar Pandora ride, it was later in the afternoon. But I actually loved the old fashioned rides.
Yeah, that's like, what I like too.
Like was it Splash Mountain? Is that
well, there's Space Mountain, right?
Right.
Was it the water ride?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. It was fascinating to me because you know the little touches that they have there, the whole idea. So you go through some of the rides and there's the animatronic folks, you know, things in there playing their instruments.
It's a small world. Did you do that?
No, it wasn't. No, there's
did
no.
Did you go through that?
I don't think there's a small world there.
Yeah, it is.
Not at Disney World.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. I mean, at least 2 years ago it was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I didn't do that.
It was creepy. It's very creepy.
No, but the thing I appreciated was like usually you would go through a ride like that and the speakers, it would just be a big speaker system, but they had it set up to where every character clearly had its own speaker playing its own instrument in isolation or singing its own song, you know, its own part of the song in isolation. So you would go through and it was so realistic. And, you know, they didn't have to do that. I appreciated just the little touches like that and noticed them and really liked them. But I was really creeped out by the entire fingerprint thing, the fact that you have to go in and give your fingerprint. And then on the way home, I was doing a lot of research and there's all these connections historically between Disney and the CIA and like how they got the land in Disney World.
Oh, I did some reading on the history. They were really manipulative in terms of how they acquired the land in Florida. Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
And then just to take this one step further, my wife and I were sitting around talking about this in our house after we got back and we just sort of speculating almost like you and I do. And we said, well, gosh, you know, if there is a connection between Disney and the CIA, that's pretty significant because, you know, there's Disney Worlds, all, you know, Disney Worlds, Disneylands all around the world. And I said, yeah, like Disneyland Paris and stuff. And like my wife was like, no. And so she started just typing literally Disney into Google. And look what came up second as the search result. Moments.
Disneyland
Paris. Moments after we spoke it with our phones around us, just to further that whole conspiracy theory. Why is that second? That's like not the second. Disneyland tickets, Disneyland hotel, Disneyland, Disney World.
You would think because of your location, it might be Disneyland in California,
yes,
right?
Yes. So basically,
you think they're listening to you?
Well, this is the whole theory. There's a great Reply All podcast thread, episode about this where people present scenarios like I just presented and they try and explain why it happened other than the fact that your phone is snooping on you. But this is weird.
Okay. You're in the Disney Army now.
Anyway.
Good luck.
Yes. It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. I'm ready for actual spring break for like just sitting by a pool. I want a cheap, easy, relaxing vacation, not one where we're running around for 12 hours with three
kids. I'm going to go to Denver for spring. Now we're going really off
Denver?
Deep end. Yeah.
Okay.
You know why?
No, I don't know.
There are
two
really exciting events going on in Denver the week of our spring break.
I have no idea. Why are you going to Denver?
Seattle Sounders play the Colorado Rapids.
Why didn't I know that? Yeah.
And it is the Craft Brewers Conference.
Are you going to go to that?
I think so.
The conference? It's not like a festival. It's just a conference. You're like sit in an auditorium and hear them talk about.
I assume they have product to share. It sounds like a great thing.
You go to CES and people think that and you don't actually get much. Yeah. You can't buy anything. Yeah. There's no like. You should really check out that conference site before you spend
money.
We'll
switch gears and do something else.
All right. Wow. Right on topic this week.
Yeah. All right. Gun off the rails here.
Okay. That's it for now. I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
We'll see you at the GeekWire Bash next week, everybody. Bye.